Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Vicky. Super good. Hey, we're going to talk about taxes today. It's tax season. You all have been scrambling to finish your taxes, although if you didn't get the memo, apparently now you don't have to do that until October. Something like that. Big postponement on the tax season, which is super cool. Doesn't everyone love talking about taxes? I mean, it's the feel-good subject of the month, and so I know you came to church today to talk about taxes. So you brought your W-2s, right? And I-99s, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, that's not even a, is that even a form? I don't know. No, Jesus is asked this question about taxes, but his response really doesn't have anything to do with taxes at all. And in fact, we're going to learn that the question wasn't really about taxes at all either. And I think that Jesus is the smartest person who ever lived. The way that he responds to questions demonstrates that he is probably the smartest person who ever lived. Hey, let's pray and then we'll listen more to Jesus. God, thank you so much for your presence here with us this morning. Thank you for these words, words which we believe you empowered Mark by your Holy Spirit to remember and record, and words which you have preserved through all these generations so that we can hear you speak. And so we pray that you would help us to hear you speak through your word today. We believe, Jesus, that these words aren't just ink on a page, but that they are words of life that point us to the word of life. And so bring us the gift of life through these words today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the leaders are setting a trap for Jesus. First of all, let's get a hold of all the characters involved here. So first of all, who are these people who are setting a trap for Jesus? Well, it just says the religious leaders or the leaders. These are the same people about which Jesus was speaking just prior to the verses that you heard read. So if you were here last week, you know that we talked about Jesus' story or parable about the vineyard and the wicked tenant farmers. Jesus was telling a parable against the religious leaders because they had not done a good job of taking care of God's vineyard. And those same leaders, they were pretty upset about Jesus telling this story that made them look bad. Well, I mean, really, they made themselves look bad. Jesus was just shining the light on that. And so they come and they're wanting to trap Jesus. They are setting an intentional trap for him. And that's really what this means. The purpose of their question is to catch Jesus, is to catch him saying something that may get him in trouble. And the leaders come along with the Pharisees and the supporters of Herod, or Herodians, as they're sometimes called. So the Pharisees and the Herodians, they come with these other leaders and ask Jesus this question about taxes. Now, it's important that we know who the Pharisees and the Herodians are in this context. So the Pharisees are the religious leaders. They're specifically the doctors of the Mosaic Law, or the doctors of the Old Testament. They have like PhDs in Old Testament studies, and so they know the word very well. The Herodians, they are also Jews, but they are supporters of King Herod, which means they are they want to stay on good terms with the Romans, right? They're Roman sympathizers. King Herod was a Roman sympathizer himself, and so the Herodians were people who wanted to stay on good terms with the Romans. The Romans were occupying the province of Judah at the time, and so the Pharisees and the Herodians, with regard to taxes, have very different opinions. So the Herodians, they want to keep on good terms with the Romans, and so they're going to be pro-tax. You know, like whatever the Romans want us to do, that's what we should do. We just want to stay on good terms with them. And so they would be in favor of taxes. And the Pharisees, well, they're not going to be so much in favor of these taxes because they're going to have this sense of betrayal, or they're just angry that that the Romans are occupying their province. And there's this sense in which, hey, we worship God alone, not Caesar. Right? So you've got the Herodians and the Pharisees, the pro-tax people, and the anti-tax people. And, you know, I mean, it's like Dr. Fauci and Marjorie Taylor Greene asking Jesus, should we get vaccinated or not? You know? And it's like, whatever he says, a whole bunch of people are going to be angry. You know, it's just like there's nothing he can say that is going to please all the folks here. And so these guys, they come and they start showering Jesus with all this insincere praise. You know, like, oh, you're so amazing. You're impartial. You're such a good teacher. They're just trying to butter Jesus up. You know, they're trying to butter him up so that he just drops his guard, relaxes a little bit, and maybe he'll just say whatever he thinks, and then they'll trap him. They'll be like, ha, we got you. So the question about these taxes, this was the tribute tax or the head tax that that Rome initiated in the year 6 AD. Let's see, I got on my notes who this guy was. Ah, yes, Quirinius. Right. So when Quirinius was in charge, he instituted this this Roman head tax. It wasn't very much. It was a very small tax. It was about one day's wages per year, one denarius per year. And the people in Jerusalem, they kind of resented Rome about this because, again, these are like foreign occupiers. You know, I mean, it's like Russia showing up in Ukraine and then starting to tax the Ukrainians, right? It's like, it just doesn't sit right with them. In fact, even this guy named Judas the Galilean, he was so upset, he led a revolt in the year 6 AD to try and get cast off the Romans, and it didn't go very well. So Judas and his pals didn't survive that. You can read about Judas in Acts chapter 5, actually. He gets mentioned, how Judas, you know, got a bunch of followers and led a revolt. That was against these taxes. And so the Jewish people are not happy about these taxes, even though it's pretty small. And Jesus, he's not naive. He's not naive about what's going on. He's not naive about this question that's being asked. He's pretty sure that this isn't actually about taxes, and so he doesn't fall into their trap. Like I said, he's clearly the smartest person who ever lived. And so he says, show me a Roman coin. Reach into your pocket and show me a Roman coin. I was going to bring a dollar bill this morning, and I forgot. Does anyone have a dollar? If you've got a dollar, can I borrow it? Just bring it on up here. Show me a Roman coin or a denarius. So a denarius is worth about a day laborer's day's wage. Vicky, thank you. If I don't give this back to you later. can I use it at 10:30 as well? Thank you.
There's interest.
I'm not supposed to directly receive money from congregants, so there's probably some rule against this, but I'll give it back to you, Vicky. So Jesus is like, you know, whose picture is on this? And it's just like, this should probably be a Benjamin Franklin. I'm not going to ask you for 100. But whose picture is on this? Jesus asks of the Roman coin. And it wasn't George Washington, it wasn't Benjamin Franklin, it was, in fact, Tiberius Caesar. He was the emperor in Rome at the time. And so the people say, the leaders say to Jesus, well, Caesar's picture, Caesar's title, literally it's Caesar's image, is on the coin. And these coins would say, they would say on them, each emperor got to, you know, mint his own coins. And so it would say, Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus. Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus. Tiberius was emperor from about the year 14, maybe to the year 37. And so, you know, it's around the year 30 or 34 AD or something like that when Jesus is being grilled here. And so Tiberius is the emperor. And in the emperor cult, we'll call it, the emperor was really seen as divine. It became more and more so as the years went on. But did you catch that? Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus. The emperor was considered a son of God, like a deity in and of himself. Whose image is on the coin? And then Jesus says, well, I'm paraphrasing here, it's pretty straightforward. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Whose image is on the coin? Is it Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus? Then give to Tiberius Caesar what belongs to Tiberius Caesar. Roman coinage, even when it was in circulation, was considered to be owned by the government, to be owned by Rome itself. So even though you may have that denarius, it was still owned by the Romans. You know, Paul understood, Apostle Paul understood this really clearly, what Jesus was saying. He's, you know, saying, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. I think he's answering the questions, the question like, you know, is it right to pay taxes or not? And the Apostle Paul, he writes this in Romans 13. He says, pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them and give respect and honor to those in authority. Pretty straightforward. But that's not really what this text is about. Jesus isn't really talking about taxes. The religious leaders weren't really concerned about taxes either. And so Jesus goes on and he says, but give to God what belongs to God. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. And so it raises the question, what belongs to God? What is it that Jesus is speaking about when he says, give to God what belongs to God? Manny, thanks so much for referring to the beginning, to Genesis. I think it's great you're taking middle schoolers through the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This is when we read about you and me in the very beginning. God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals of the earth, the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then, if you ever receive a birthday card from me, you will probably read Psalm 139 in there. Listen to this. This carries on the Genesis 1 conversation. Psalm 139. You, O God, made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me when I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had even passed. You made me in the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You, O God, created me. And how did God create us? In his image. So a Roman coin has the image of Caesar stamped on its front. And you have the image of your creator stamped on your heart. Give to God what belongs to God. You belong to God. In life and in death, you belong to God. And so it raises a question, I think, for us. What are we to do with this? If this isn't really about taxes, then what are we to do? A couple of things. First of all is realize. Second is respond. And then heads up, third is, yeah, actually, don't cheat on your taxes. That probably isn't a good idea. But that's secondary, really, for what Jesus is saying here. So realize and respond. So the first thing we need to realize is that we belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. And so I wanted to invite Ray Watkins to come up and read to us from this thing called the Heidelberg Catechism. And it was written in 1563. And the Heidelberg Catechism is this this tool that was used to teach people the faith. And it comes in the form of questions and answers, as many catechisms would. So there's a question with an answer, and the Heidelberg Catechism is actually a part of our movement, our denomination. It's part of our heritage. And the very first question that is asked in the Heidelberg question is this, and Ray's going to actually read the answer. And I asked him about this 10 minutes ago, so he hasn't practiced, so give him a break. So question number one, what is your only comfort in life and in death?
That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him.
Isn't that good? What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but that I belong to my faithful Savior. Thanks, Ray. That's really good. My faithful Savior, who has actually purchased me with his blood. He has redeemed me from the pit with his blood. And so I belong to him. I actually said this last week. I can't remember who originally said it, but someone has said that there is not a single square inch of you about which Jesus doesn't point and say, mine. You belong to me. And not in some weird possessive way, but in this wonderful, like, I created you and I redeemed you. And so I care so deeply about me, like you're mine, in kind of the same way that a child belongs to a parent, not in some weird way, but in a, like, that's my kid. And so I will do anything to protect my kid. I will do anything to make sure that my kid flourishes because he's mine, because she is mine. So first, we've got to realize that we belong to the Lord. Everything about you, everything that you have, all of your gifts and talents, all of your time, this is a challenge for me, all of your time, it all belongs to the Lord. It's all his. How would your life change? How would your posture in life shift a little bit if you were to fully realize and fully recognize that all that you have and all that you are doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God? I asked this question last week, I'll ask it again. Have you ever borrowed a really nice vehicle that doesn't belong to you? You drive it carefully, don't you? You take really good care of it because it doesn't belong to you. So you want to be a good steward of it. You know, you want to at least return it in the same condition as you found it, or maybe even better, maybe with a full gas of tank, or full tank of gas. Right? So realize that I belong to the Lord. And secondly, respond to the Lord's generosity. Respond to the Lord's generosity. You know, a couple of our values here at Christ Pacific, the very first one is that we are Christ-centered. And what we mean by that is that everything we do is in response to what Jesus has already done. We want to be all about Jesus. We want Jesus to be at the center of our congregational life because he is at the center of history. He is at the center of the church, capital C. And we want all that we do to be centered around him and to be in response to Jesus Christ and his generosity. Another value of ours is that we would become radically generous. So the subtext there in our value is that we reflect God's generosity when we give of ourselves freely and passionately. Right? That's what it means to be radically generous. We just give of ourselves all that we are, all that we have. And I tell you what, in these days, when it feels like time is so much more valuable than money, what does it look like to give of your time generously to those who are in need? We respond to the Lord's generosity. You know, it always strikes me that Jesus, in the New Testament, whenever he talks about tithing, you know, tithing is this practice or this discipline where Christians give 10% of their income to the work of the church, to the work of God in the local church. And whenever Jesus talks specifically about tithing in the New Testament, you should check me on this because I'm 95% sure. He's always speaking about it negatively. Here's what I mean. He's giving the religious leaders a hard time because they tithe even on their spices, and you know they're so caught up in giving exactly 10% of everything because they just want to be obedient, but they've lost sight of what it actually means to just be generous. And so whenever Jesus talks about tithing in the New Testament, it's always negative. He's using it sort of as an example of what not to do. You know, don't be like these Pharisees who give 10% of everything. I mean, man, they are religious about it. Jesus is like, don't be like them. But then he says things like this. Give to God what belongs to God. Well, give to God what belongs to God. He says elsewhere, like in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, you can't have two masters. You can't serve both wealth and God. You've got to choose because you're either going to serve one and hate the other or serve the other and hate one. You can't try to serve both. You've got to choose which master to serve. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all that other stuff that you need, it will be given to you. So the language that Jesus uses is all language of generosity, and it's pretty radical generosity. So you might ask, does Jesus teach tithing in the New Testament? And I would say no, he actually doesn't. He teaches radical generosity. You decide what that means. At the end of the day, it's all about our posture. It's all about our posture. Are we open-handed towards God? And if we're open-handed towards God, he's going to lead us to be open-handed towards others, open-handed towards those who are in need, those who don't yet know Jesus. And so Jesus is inviting us into this kind of posture. Are you open-handed towards him? All that you are and everything that you have belongs to him. He created you. He purchased you. He redeemed you. It's all about him. And then lastly, again, I think this is kind of a minor point, but it's probably worth mentioning again. I think Jesus clearly teaches here that it's not okay to lie, steal, and cheat on your taxes. Right? There are some, I think very few, but some who might think, well, I pledge allegiance to Jesus, so therefore I don't, you know, pledge allegiance to the whatever the sitting government is in the United States of America, right? Robin Hood is actually not a biblical figure. Stealing from Caesar to give to the poor, like the ends don't justify the means. in Jesus' book. So, some of you might need to review your taxes. Well, Jesus was asked about taxes, but that wasn't really the question. The question was really, Jesus, to whom do we pledge allegiance? And Jesus responded using a Roman coin to make his point. But his point was really not about taxes at all. His point was, to whom will you pledge your allegiance? You belong in body and soul to your faithful Lord and Savior, Jesus. So will you live today with a posture that is open-handed towards him? And if you do, he will lead you to live in such a way that is open-handed towards others in need. Amen? Let's pray together. God, thank you again for your word, for your faithfulness, for your generosity. And we pray now that you would transform our minds and our hearts, that you would renew our minds and our hearts, even as we give them to you. Say, Jesus, have your way with our mind. Have your way with our heart. Have your way with our bodies. Have your way with us. Renew us, transform us, that we might become more and more the people whom you have created and redeemed us to be. People who are open-handed toward you, ready to receive all that you have to give us, and also ready to give all that you have given us. Jesus, we trust that whenever we encounter you, you do not leave us the same. And we're so grateful for that, because we don't want to leave today being the same people we arrived as. We want to go from this place changed. We want to be more generous. We want to be less selfish. We want to be more about you. We want you to take your proper place in our lives at the center. We want that for our church community. We want that for churches in Huntington Beach. We want that for our families. We want that for ourselves. So take your proper place, Jesus, at the center. We receive all that you have to offer us today. And we give all that we have to offer to you, Jesus. For we pray it in your faithful name. Amen. Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon Podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpc.org.